Blog Talk Radio.
Are you new to social networking? Well, Grudge Inc. has got a new site coming soon. Grudgebook will allow you to catch up and lock in with other grudge racers. Find out about all the latest events, view the latest photos, create your own blogs, and so much more. In 2013, Grudge Inc. takes on the social networks. So get ready to register and lock in. Grudge Inc. Grudgebook. Grudge Inc. is taking it to another level. Coming in 2013, all of your auto performance needs can be found in one location. Grudge Inc. will be launching an online auto parts store catering specifically to your auto performance needs. Being available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store wants to be your number one online shop site. 2013, get ready for Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store. More details to follow soon.
Welcome to another beautiful week. This is September. We in September, my callers. I tell you, this year is definitely going fast. It is. It's been a lot of great racing going on. It's been a lot of things happening that's going on in society as well. I want to also welcome my co-host, one of my good buddies, Big Jim. What's going on this morning, Big Jim?
Not too much. A nice day off of work for Labor Day and getting ready to go to the beach, actually, with my daughter in a little bit.
That must be nice, living down there in the great state of comfortability. How? Ain't nothing wrong with that. You had a good weekend? Did any racing this weekend, Big Jim?
We actually went and did some testing with the top sportsman car in Orlando and got rained out. More got flooded out. It when it rained, it poured. It was nasty. But that was about it. That was on Saturday, and then we headed home, and that's about it. I was looking for some updates on the Union race. I didn't see much on it. So I was looking to see if anybody had some updates. I know they eventually rained up there as well, but some action got off.
I didn't hear anything, but maybe we can somebody get on and let us know if something went down, and go from there. And we'll find out exactly what went on. I definitely kind of wanted to get Dolomite on here today. I wasn't able to get in touch with him, but I'm sure that throughout the day somebody will have his number that comes on here, and maybe we can get him on the show. Definitely like to get him in here and discuss, his future, with holding the belt, that is. Definitely would like to have him in here. But other than that, we're going to move right along. Everybody that's been on the show know that when we start our show, we always have a one-minute devotion that I read from. Let me get that started, Big Jim, and we can move right along.
Okay.
All righty. Today we'll be reading about caring for others could cure the world. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Jesus Christ devoted his whole life to caring for others. His love for people was all-embracing. This was obvious in his relationship with everyone he came across, despite the circumstances or regardless of them. His first thought was always for others, even when he was nailed to the cross. Jesus commanded his followers to love one another as he loves us. It is unavoidable that this will include self-sacrifice. In our ministry of love to one another, we must show the same compassion and forgiving love that the Master has for us. Only in doing so can the wounds of this world be healed. Let's go into a small prayer. Holy Spirit of God, fill me with the despair and ability to love my neighbor as you love me. And always, O Heavenly Father, continue to bless all of the grudging nation, all of the racers that are out there today up in Indy. Bless them, O Heavenly Father, that they will come home safely. They will interact with others to the best of their abilities. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity of our show, our Blog Talk Radio show, and I thank you for all people who partake interest in it. We thank you for all things, and we ask that you continue to show us favor on this earth. All these blessings and more, we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for listening in to our prayer. Like I said, I'm always available if someone wants to pray throughout the day. I'm not a minister, but I am a man of God, and if you ask me, I will pray at any moment's notice. I'm not ashamed of that, to say that I am a man of God. I'm not ashamed of what I do. I walk in the light at all times, and I wish that, you know, if I'm not, you please come and check me on that, because I do try to be an example of what we need to be the example for, a great Christian guy. With that being said, we're going to move right along with the program. Big Jim, what do we have for our callers today?
Oh, it's I really was trying to get an update on the race, and it was the big thing as far as a tech talk subject. We've been looking for some subjects to go on. I think a good one is the progressives versus bank to bank or straight nitrous systems. That's definitely a topic that we've been bouncing around with a bunch of cars, a bunch of local cars down here that I've been playing with, and some pros and cons of both. So I think that's a good subject that if everyone's interested in, we can touch on.
Well, what we'll do is, I guess we can go to the lines and see if any of the callers have any questions. Last week we spoke on safety, and we were going to get into getting a transmission manufacturer on the phone this weekend. We wasn't able to do so. We're going to be talking about the converters and what they did in the runs. I know that on my other show that we have throughout the morning, we were discussing banking, and a couple individuals had a question on NOS. How does banking basically help with, you know, racing and you know, with it coming out one side or what have you? You know what I mean? How do you know that someone's banking, and what does it look like from the outside of the car? Basically what the discussion we were having earlier this week. Y'all hit the one button if y'all have any questions. If not, we can move right along.
Right now, I can answer those couple things. In a typical situation where someone takes a straight fogger system and banks it, typically you'll see it come out left or right. If you stand behind the car, you'll see a, you know, one side header flame up, or you'll see one side come on before the other. But that's not always typical, because I know back when this all started, From what I understand, Steve Johnson was doing the bank-to-bank stuff 15 years ago when he was racing Pro Mod, and no one really caught on to it. And Steve Johnson built a reputation on being one of the fastest Pro Mod racers around, and he never had the biggest motors, but he was always able to he built his nitrous career based on that. And he told me a while back that he had been using it back then when no one had ever heard of it. I know NMCA had some classes that required a single system with 8 5-gallon houses is all you could have. So Brandon Switzer got involved at Speed when he was with SpeedTech and did some stuff. And it wasn't necessarily, they were banking the system, but they had actually plumbed the nitro system based on firing order. So it looked like a maze of fogger, stainless fogger piping, and the solenoids were in the front and the back, but it was actually firing cylinders based on firing order rather than just a left and a right. And on that one, that would change the header flame idea. That worked very well until NMCA caught on to what everyone was doing and changed the rules a little bit on them. But that's something he got involved in with some NMCA guys that I know of. So banking is definitely a way of smoothing out the application, the power application. And that's all they're trying to do, which is very typical of what you're trying to do with a progressive.
Right.
That's about all I've got on that.
When did they start really using this effectively? I mean, like, when they started using it in grudge racing, when did it start really being what it is today? I mean, you find, like, the knowledge is starting, if it came out 15 years ago, we are definitely behind, way behind, if we're just talking about it now. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
small teams are using it.
I know we were using it on grudge cars. I was personally using it on grudge cars 4 years ago, about 4 years ago. We were using it and playing with it on my own car probably 5 years ago. And I know I wasn't the only one doing it at the time. So it's been at least fairly prominent in the grudge game for, I'd say, at least 4 years, 4 to 5 years. But any tricks are going to be kept a secret as long as they can, to keep the advantage. So, I mean, you've heard about it a lot more the last 2 years, but it's definitely been being used quite often, quite consistently for at least 4 or 5 years in the grudge game. I think Steve Johnson came up with, you know, if he's the one who came up with the idea or he started doing it, he's the guy that I know of that started, not to say he actually was the very first, but because I don't know, but the... You know, him, when he was doing it, he kept it a secret for a long time because it was helping him be successful. So,
right.
You know, I think that was the whole thing is, that, you know, there may have been 5-6 years that one guy was using it and no one else knew about it.
Would you, Jimmy, say that banking is definitely going to, I mean, how, in my eyes, how would it help, you know what I mean, your tune-up as far as, you know, the tune-ups that we normally figure out through trial and error? I mean, how is banking going to definitely, I mean, how would it improve our tune-up on our cars? I mean, since we haven't been using it for this many years, I mean, does it save the motor or what? I mean, how does it play? You know, I'm getting some texts that are asking these questions, you know, how does it banking affect the engine per se?
In my experience, I've never hurt an engine doing it. I've never seen damage to an engine, even when we disassembled one, you know, when I've taken it over to Chris or whatever, when we disassembled one, we've never noticed damage caused by it. Now, people have, they hear about the banking thing, a lot of people try it different. I would, you know, some people try to take banking and take it to the level of taking one system and say they're going to have 500, they're going to jet it up to 500 horse with some big jets in it, and they're going to try to use it as two 250 horsepower systems. And they're going to, you know, and they've got a no ladder, a no wheelie bar, small tire car. And to me, that's, I don't think that that is a, the way it should be handled, the way, the right way to work with it, the successful way to work with it. You're not, to me, the whole purpose of banking is not to make two systems out of one. It's to make one system apply smoother than it would if you had not banked it. For instance, you know, if say I can turn my second kit on it, you know, and it's a full kit, and say it's a 300 horse kit, and I, as soon as I'm able to get this thing on, and say, let's use a number of 1.5 into the run, well, I may be able to bank it and start it at 1.2 or 1 second into the run with only half of it, and then apply the second half 2/10, 3/10 later. Because the application is smoother, you can start it sooner and actually complete that application sooner because it's not such of a jolt to the tire. You know, one way that I've looked at it is someone brought to my attention, look at the rear tire like a rubber band. When you let go of the button, you wind that rubber band up. You need to keep it. You need to not snap that rubber band. You need to keep it stretched, and if it's, as it comes unstretched, as you're driving down the racetrack and the tire catches up to itself, up to the rim, it should be a smooth application of doing that. If you stretch, let go of the button, you stretch the rubber band, and then you hit a big kit, and it tries to stretch it, you know, starts to return, tries to stretch it more, it's twisting the tire, it's affecting how the tire stays round and how its contact patch stays on the racetrack. You're trying to keep that smooth. And that's where progressives come in. That's what they do better than banking ever could, is keep a smooth application. So there's multiple ways to use a progressive as well. But the to me, I prefer the banking. But in a lot of applications, I wouldn't say in all, there's a lot of applications where the progressive is by far better. So you really have to, that's your whole goal, is just to keep the tire, get the power applied sooner and keep the tire happy.
Right. Let me cut you off for 1 minute, Jim. I want to announce that we got a lot of callers just came in, and I just want to share with them. We are having a Tech Talk moment with Jimmy Marino, and you are on the Breadman One Time Show. With that being said, we back to you, Jim. I'd just like to I got reprimanded last week for not announcing what we were talking about, so I wanted to get that in there so that the boss, the sponsor, can definitely
Understood.
Reprimand for the ones that are coming in. But you were saying that the progressive, that is for you the better of for you.
I think it's better by, one is better than the other depending on your combination. I'm not a huge advocate of the progressives in some applications. In some applications, I think they're absolutely by far the best way. And there's a lot of variables that determine that. But I think that I think that in the applications that you're banking, you don't want to use is try to make the attempt to take in one huge kit and make it into two smaller kits, and you think you can jet your stuff way up. But I use it just as a smoothing factor. As a matter of fact, you know, I've spread it apart as far as, you know, between one side and the other, as far as a second and a half. But preferably, and especially on a big tire wheelie bar car, we'll split it by a tenth, even 5/100. You know, a lot of times we'll just, you know, even if we're not having a power application problem or anything, we'll split a kit by 5/100 and just keep it smooth to keep it from upsetting the tire. We see no loss. It's just a smoother way of applying it. We've been doing that for years on some stuff, on some small, big, like 10-5 tire stuff. When I say smaller tire, not the big tire, but wheelie bar 10-5 four-link cars, where we turn every kit and we bank every kit, but just by like 5/100. So on some small tire stuff, like a 28 and 29-inch tire stuff, at a little heavier weight, we'll have to split it a little longer. And then you also have the alternative. You use a progressive to apply the power more smoothly. And that takes a whole different tuning perspective when you do that. So I don't know. Is there any questions any callers have I can elaborate on?
I have another caller just texting, and he was asking, what is the best flow, what is the best bottle, size bottle to get, 10-pound or 15-pound? I mean, what are the best bottles to use with those particular things in which you were referring to?
Okay, that's a pretty simple one. It all depends on the flow of your nitrous. What you're trying to do with bottle is whether you run 2 10-pounds, 1 15-pounds, 1 10-pounds, you're trying to maintain. Here's what happens. As you go down the racetrack, just as we heat our bottles before run to get them at a specific pressure at the starting line, as you flow nitrous and move nitrous, and specifically as the nitrous pressure drops, the liquid nitrous turns to a gas. So, for example, when you've got a canister, a nitrous bottle of any size, and it's got 950, say 1,000 pounds of pressure in it, and that liquid leaves and goes into the line, as it gets to a larger atmosphere, it turns to a gas form. Your goal is to keep that pressure equivalent to have as little pressure loss as you can to keep your tune-up the same as you go down the racetrack. And at the same time, you want to keep it a liquid as long as you can to get it in the motor in a liquid form. So when it comes out of the Figer nozzle is the first time it turns to a gas. That comes to a whole procedural thing with flow. If you think about it, if you go from a big bottle, you go through a small orifice valve on the top of that bottle, and then you open up to a large line, that liquid expands when it leaves that small orifice valve, and it will turn to a gas in that line. Now, it will actually settle back down to a liquid, possibly by the time it gets to the solenoid. Again, that's the same thing you're doing, is you're using the solenoid, a certain size solenoid, where you have a liquid entering it, and then it goes through the small orifice of that solenoid, and when it passes that solenoid and goes to a larger area, the pressure drops and turns to a gaseous form. You're trying to keep the liquid, again, you're trying to keep it in a liquid as long as you can, all the way to where it exits the Figer nozzle or the plate. go back to the bottle. The same thing you're trying to do is keep the pressure drop in that bottle as low as possible, because if you know your tune-up's happy at a certain pressure, hit the start line at a certain point, you don't want to lose power by the time you, from when you leave the starting line by the time you cross the finish line. You want to actually, as you're getting down the racetrack, you're able to apply more power. Well, the less the bottle pressure you have, the less nitrous is entering the motor, the richer the condition will get, because less pressure is forcing less nitrous in there, and the fuel pressure is staying the same as you go down the track. So you'll actually start with a leaner condition and end up by the end of the track with a richer condition. So the bottle size has a lot to do with that, because as you use the nitrous as it exits the bottle, the volume will drop. So if you're in a situation where you're using very little nitrous, you got a small block, you know, say a stock block, small block type thing with a single plate, single 10-pound bottle is plenty with a good flowing valve. You know, you get into 3-4 stages, I think 2 10-pound bottles are required. You're kind of in the middle where you don't quite need 2 10-pound bottles, but you have more than you're flowing. You know, say you got 2 decent-sized kits. You probably are better off with a single 15-pound bottle. You can never put too much bottle in the car for the way the nitrous works, but at some point you do add more weight to the car than you need to by putting, you know, for instance, 2 10-pound bottles when you could get away with 1. But you're going to keep your pressure drop to a minimum by using more bottle volume. Does that answer the question?
They put on here, so is he saying a 10-pound will be better or a 15-pound is always better?
Bigger, more volume is always better for the nitrous application. Anybody who's got race pack is going to see that at the beginning of the run, and for us, we run 950 pounds at the beginning of the run when we launch the car. That's our starting point. That's our baseline. You may be down at 850 by the end of the run because as nitrous, as we all see, nitrous leaves, you know, whether it be purge solenoid. Nitrous is a cold gas. Well, you're heating the bottle to get it warmer. As it exits, it's going to cool the bottle. As you're cooling the bottle, because you're running down the racetrack and nitrous is exiting it, the pressure drops. The more volume you have, the less pressure drop you will have. So if you have, let's just say, it doesn't matter what it is, a single kit, and you use the same single kit and you put a single 10-pound bottle on that, you may lose on that kit, you may lose 100 pounds of bottle pressure between the starting line and 8th mile. You put 2 10-pound bottles in time together in the same application, same kit, you may only lose 50 pounds of bottle pressure going down the racetrack. Well, at 50 pounds of bottle pressure, you'll maintain your mixture further down the racetrack, and you'll actually be closer to your starting line mixture by the time you get to the end of the racetrack. So to answer that question, bigger, more volume is better when it comes to that. 2 15-pound bottles would be even better than that for that application. But then you're fighting the fine line about everyone, you know, wants to keep their cars light and everything else. So you don't want to add too much weight to the car.
And I have another one. I have like 3 more texts here. One of them is, what is the best nitrous bottle to purchase on the market today?
The bottles are pretty much all the same, the actual bottle. The valve is what's different. We've seen technology change, and it goes back to what I was talking about pressure drop and turning the liquid to a gas. We see these quarter-turn ball valves now available that will thread on any nitrous bottle. Nitrous Express sells them. Nitrous Supply, I think, sells them. I'm sure SpeedTech sells them. I don't know if Steve Johnson's selling them or not. I could probably get Steve Johnson scheduled to get on the phone with us on another show, maybe next week. But to me, the quarter turn valve, the ball valve, which is an open orifice valve, maintains a constant, smooth flow of liquid out of the bottle. So, in my opinion, that is better than going through a diaphragm orifice or a O-ring style orifice that seals up against a seat, that you're actually having to turn. The nitrous is going up and it's having to turn at an angle through a smaller orifice into a bigger area and then settle back down in the line. If that liquid doesn't have to do that, there's less chance of that liquid becoming a vapor. So to answer that, I believe, in my opinion, is the ball valve style valve in any bottle is the best option with today's technology and what's available out there today.
The last question I have on here is, it's hard to really understand it, but it speaks on the bottle. The bottles they have in Pro Mods, why are they different from the ones that are in stock suspension cars? I don't know if they're referring to the lighter bottles that are in Pro Mods. I don't know.
Well, it goes back to the whole weight thing that we talked about. What I think that person who's asking is bringing up are the carbon fiber bottles that you see a lot of in Pro Mods. They're actually a 12-pound bottle is what they are. They hold 12 pounds of nitrous. They're about 7.5 pounds lighter than a 10-pound bottle because the weight of the actual bottle. It is an aluminum shell with a aluminum inner liner with a carbon fiber wrapped shell on the outside. That is actually what it's very similar, if not exact, to what firefighters have been wearing on their back for years as far as a bottle design. And that's where I believe the technology comes from or the idea comes from. But the that's the difference. It's strictly weight. There. We've started to run those as well. They're very expensive. Like I said, if you were running 2 10-pound bottles now, as we were in my car, you can save 15 pounds off of your bottles, 15 pounds out of the car, just by switching to those bottles. And if 15 pounds makes a big difference to your application, what your car is, then, and it does to me, then it's maybe worth the investment. But that's strictly what it is weight, if that's what we're talking about. Also in those, most guys are running the quarter-turn ball valve on those as well. Same thing. That valve will go on any bottle. The you can buy that valve for any bottle. So, and you can put a regular valve on a carbon fiber bottle. They pretty much are interchangeable. The other thing with carbon fibers, you have to remember the way you have to heat those is in a water bath, which a lot of more people are using nowadays. You cannot use a torch on those, which is not recommended for any bottles, but a lot of guys are doing it, and it's more the danger factor in doing that just is exponential when you do it on a carbon fiber bottle for obvious reasons. You got a very thin soda can type and aluminum liner on the inside to keep it sealed, and then it's wrapped and gets its strength from the carbon fiber. Well, carbon fiber is not designed to withstand heat. It's got a very low temperature threshold, so you don't want to go put a torch on one of those.
There you have it. There you have it. We're going to hit a quick commercial here, and we're going to come back. We're on live with Tech Talk with Jimmy, and you are definitely on the Breadman One Time Show. With that being said, we're going to catch a quick commercial here, and we'll be right back with all of our info on what happened over the weekend and our upcoming events.
Grudge Inc. is taking over social networking. To get live, in-depth coverage on current races, follow us on Twitter at Grudge Inc. To view the most up-to-date and exclusive footage, subscribe to our YouTube page at youtube.com/GrudgeIncTV. To get an overview of it all, friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/GrudgeInc. And last but not least, we have a weekly newsletter that we will send directly to your email every Monday. Sign up for this newsletter at www.grudgeinc.us. Once again, watch videos at youtube.com/GrudgeIncTV. Follow us on Twitter at Grudge Inc. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/GrudgeInc. Grudge Inc. wants to be your number one stop for all grudge racing news and entertainment.
Thank you. We are back. We are back. We definitely are looking for the upcoming events. I do know that, Big Jim, you got an upcoming event coming soon. I know it's a ways off, but I want to say that my man, Crew Chief, will be throwing a race. I'm trying to find the information on it here.
November 30th.
November 30th, my man Crew Chief, good God Almighty, he gone from working on cars to driving cars. Now he is a promoter, my buddy. Good God Almighty, go ahead, Crew Chief, getting it in. What track is it going to be at?
They renamed the track. It's got new ownership. It used to be Sunshine Dragway in St. Petersburg. It was that was the name for years and years. St. Petersburg, Florida. It's right in the Tampa area, right down, just outside of downtown Tampa and downtown St. Petersburg. And it's one of those, it's a really neat racetrack. It's in the middle of the city, which we don't get to see that often anymore. I'm sure when it was built, that wasn't the city. It's that old. But it's a neat old racetrack. We used to have a 6 or 7 time a year heads up series over there, run pro mod cars and everything else. It's a smaller facility, but really, the management's always been good to work with, and they're eager to get the cars in. So, it might be called Showdown Dragway or something like that now. Something, I can't remember the name of it.
Can you get them on the phone? Can you get them on here? So, cause I just had a text. We want his ass. Good God Almighty! So,
all right. Let me see if I can get old Crew Chief on. Hold on one second.
Yeah.
I'll let you take over for a minute. Let me see if I can get him on.
Thank you. With that being said, that's one of the races' upcoming events. I think I'm trying to find. Here we go. Whoa! We got a caller coming in. Caller 478-8176, you're going live. Your mic is hot. Welcome to the Breadman Show. How can I help you? Good morning. Welcome to the Breadman Show. Hello? Got another caller here. Let me let you in. 205-6510.
What's going on, Fred, man? This is your world-famous Mustang Walker. First time on your show. Happy to be here. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Walker, welcome to have you. I'm thankful to have you on here. Welcome to the Bread, man. one-time show. We have, you know, we got Big Jim in here as the Tech Talk. We also sometimes have Chris Nelson in here for all of your engine needs. So,
you said Big Jim. Who is Big Jim? What is Big Jim? I mean, is he what? I came in later. You may have announced who he was or whatever, but I got a question for Big Jim. I know he talked about foggers and banking. Well, I got a question for him on the nitrous side. To him, what is better, the new technology diffuser plates or the older style bar style, frost bars and single bars?
Well, Walker, you hold that question when he come back in.
I'm back, and I heard the very last part of that question. I didn't hear the beginning of it.
What is better, in your opinion, the diffuser style plates that's hitting the markets now, or the cross bars and single bars?
I'm going to have to say this diffuser style plate. You talk more of the Speedtek style with that disc in the middle?
Yeah, you got the Speedtek, you got the Zet perimeter plates, you got the Nitrous Express, that really high dollar plate they got. They got their own style of diffuser plate. Seems like a lot of people are starting to develop diffuser plates. They're saying for distribution. Then, like myself, I've used the Speedtek plate, and I'm not going to dog Speedtek, but I've not been able to find a tune-up. And with a lot of other people using it, I've been reading on Yellow Bullet, they've not had success finding the tune-ups. They've even went as far as a 20 to 25 point spread, or they, you know, Speedtek calls for a square spread, and it's way off.
I haven't personally used the disc style or that style plate, the Speedtek style. I know when Brandon was developing that plate, he did a lot of R&D, a lot of testing with it. And there may be some tricks to it. I would definitely, before you give up on it, have you tried to contact Brandon and at Switzer and talk to him at Switzer Dynamics?
Yes, I've talked to Brandon at Switzer Dynamics about the plate. But, you know, he's no longer with Speedtek, as you know. And the guy there said, go buy the sheet. Well, you know, I talked to Money Smith the other day, and Money Smith said that sheet, it's wrong. It's completely wrong. And it keeps you on the real rich side. And, you know, like I say, the way I'm starting to get this is the only way you're going to get that plate to work is to have it flowed, basically. To know where you're at with it, you know.
I actually have a friend who just got theirs, that style plate back from Kevin Neal, who just did flow it. And I don't know exactly what they found. He told me he got it back, so I don't know exactly what they came up with. Like I said, I haven't personally run one of those. I've run the straight style. I've run the cross style, spray bar, the standard spray bar plates, you know, forever and ever and ever. And you have to find your tune-up with any of them. It's supposed to work great. I just don't have a lot of personal experience with it, but I can tell you that Chris Nelson, if you give Chris a call at his shop on Tuesday, he is a Speedtek dealer. He also deals with Brandon at Switzer Dynamics. Brandon was an owner of Speedtek, and then whenever happened with their business, they separated, and he's got Switzer Dynamics now, as a lot of people know, and he definitely can get with Brandon and get some inside scoop as far as in your application what he's ended up with as far as spreads and all that, and if there is issues with it. Even though he's no longer with Speedtek, he developed that when he was at Speedtek. So
yes,
he knows it better than anybody.
Right, I'm only 55 miles from Speed Tech, and I went down there and talked to them, and got the same thing. The sheet is right, and that's absolutely false, and all that right there. But the only thing I'm going to say is that from my reading, everybody's saying is the NOS crossbar is really about the best plate out there. I just want to really get your opinion. What do you think about it?
I've had never had a problem with a single spray bar or a crossbar plate. That's what we've always run. Mostly because we never invested. When that style plate came out, we were always running foggers by then. Most of our stuff was big, and I just never messed with one. I've never had one on a car that I've tuned, so I just don't have any experience with it. So I'd have to say, from personal experience, I've always had success with the standard plates, the crossbar or, single spray bar. And I like that. I understand the theory behind getting away from the spray bar, but I don't know that it's not just a theory, because getting that bar out of the Airstream, I don't know that it really affects too much. So, it's a whole theoretical issue there of what really matters. But again, like you said, I've always had success with the spray bars and never had an issue. But any plate you run and any plate system that you run, and there's a downfall to every plate system, which is you have to tune to your worst cylinder. Because you got to find out what your cylinder on your, basically it comes back to intake manifold. What cylinder is your most, what's the word I'm looking for? The one that seems to find the most problems. What cylinder is the least?
One is starving.
The one that's going to hurt itself first, and you've got to really, with a plate, tune to that cylinder, because you can't adjust cylinder to cylinder distribution. That all comes back to intake manifold porting and the design of the intake manifold. There's a lot there with that. In a perfect world, with a perfect, perfect intake manifold and heads ported equally and the flow is the same, then it would be no issue, it would distribute evenly. But unless you're running NHRA Pro Stock and you're spending, $30,000 on an intake manifold, $20,000 on an intake manifold, you're not going to have perfect distribution. So that's where a fogger comes in. Now, I do have some applications where we'll run, where we're running two systems and we'll run a plate as one and a fogger on another, and we'll clean up the tune-up in the fogger and clean up the uneven distribution in that fogger kit, that second kit. Or if that application suits it, maybe it's the first, but usually it's the second, and we can just clean it up there.
Well, I got another question for you, and you can ask this. Do you think nitrous is gone as far as it can go with technology, and now the technology with nitrous is in the tuning of the boxes and everything, like the 7531, the power grid?
No. No, there is some technology that's been out there for quite a while. Overseas is where I know of it being done. There's some technology out there that has not come to light yet. It's been around forever, just not perfected. And as it does, it's going to change the mold of nitrous racing, in my opinion. I can elaborate on that a little bit. I've read up on it. I'm not super familiar. But basically what somebody's done, and they've been working on it for years, is they have developed a nitrous, let's call it a nitrous injector. It is similar, not the same. It's a rotary style design, but it's similar to what we'd see as a fuel injector on a fuel injection system, where you can actually, rather than a solenoid and a nozzle that you turn off and on, you actually can pulse width, control the amount of nitrous infinitely throughout the run, just as you would a fuel injector. You can, that one, you'll have an injector, say for example, you'd have an injector on each cylinder. You'd be able to tune each cylinder completely individual, both on the fuel side with fuel injection and on the nitrous side with nitrous flow. And you could spray more nitrous through a single injector than you could ever put into that cylinder. So you wouldn't have jets anymore. You wouldn't have limitations. You could turn it as low and as high infinitely throughout the run as you needed to and wanted to. But that, when that technology hits the streets, it's going to change the world of nitrous racing.
Did that answer your question, Walker?
That answered more than what I wanted to know, too.
hey, in Mustang Walker, don't go out there trying to get it before I get it.
Hey, I'm already on the internet looking right now.
Research it a little bit. There's a guy, I think he's in Australia or something. He's been developing it for years. Australia, maybe it's Austria. He's been developing it. It's come to the States. There is people here working on the development of it. Steve Johnson knows quite a bit about it. I've talked to him about it in the past. There's definitely people working on it, and numerous people, but I haven't seen it in use. What I do understand is there is an R&D nitrous motorcycle, like a pro nitrous motorcycle, ADRL type motorcycle that has it on it in true on-track R&D testing. I don't know who owns it. I don't know whose it is, but I have heard rumor of that.
Well, that sounds good. Maybe that shorten some of the classes out because the blower cars, as you know, in Pro Mod got so much faster a few years ago that they, you know, split the class. You got Nitrous Pro Mod, Blower Pro Mod, and, you know, it kind of killed off. It kind of killed off a lot of the nitrous racers because when, you know, as I was growing up, we used to have the little outlaw tracks with Scotty Cannon, Hugh Scott, Dwayne Watkins, and them all used to run the circuits and stuff. And, you know, as technology developed with the blowers, a lot of the nitrous guys just completely fell off the scene that we were used to seeing and all. And then next thing you know, you got your Nitrous Pro Mod series and all, and it kind of... To me, it kind of ruined it for everybody.
Yep. Well, a boosted application, any boosted application is going to always, for the life, make more power than a nitrous application just by how it works. And a turbo application is always going to make more raw horsepower than a blower application because it doesn't take, it's very efficient. The efficiencies, you know, it doesn't take a lot to turn a turbo. It takes quite a bit more to turn a blower. Screw blowers are, you know, the most efficient, but still got to turn that thing. But, you know, the struggle has always been the tuning and getting the power applied smoothly and quickly to make the turbos run with the blowers. And that is where, you know, there's still a lot coming up there. And in a perfect world with traction not being an issue, the turbo cars would dominate drag racing forever. So I see the likes of Todd Tuttero, who to me is the greatest guy behind a blower car there is. And, you know, he goes and converts his car to turbo, knowing that the efficiency is there. And eventually that will be the combination to have. But then, you know, they realize that it's hard to control smoothly and consistently. Where a blower car, they're controlling it with timing, a little bit with fuel application, but mostly with timing, and they can repeat themselves consistently. the turbo guys, I think that is the is it's getting better through the past years, but it's still an issue is consistency. They can't repeat the exact same thing with these boost controllers every run. So, you know, how much boost it makes and how they control that boost is, I think, is not as easy, and not how they apply and get it to the racetrack is their struggle. But by, you know, you should look at mile an hour, that's raw horsepower, and nothing can run with the turbo car. And I don't think nitrous ever will. I don't think it can.
Well, hey, Jim, we got a lot of callers now that are calling in. Mustang Walker, we would love to answer every one of your questions.
I'm done, Brad. I'm done.
Yes, we can hold, if you would, you know, you don't have to go anywhere, but I'll keep your mic open because you're definitely a great friend of mine, and you're definitely striving to run a whole lot faster than 7-0s in the 8th mile. So with that being said, we're going to move right along. Jim. Hey,
yep.
Jimmy, I'm a very close friend of yours called in. We hadn't heard from him in a while. With also callers, we do have the one and only crew chief is on the line, but I want to hold near before we bring him in. We do have him on. I just want to grab this one caller for Jimmy. Let me get him in here, Big Jim. 678-0122, your mic is hot. You're live with Breadman and Jimmy Marino. How can we help you?
Thank you for having me on, Brad. Hey, Jimmy, I was just listening in, man. It, you know, great information, man.
Who's this?
This is Karki, Jimmy.
Oh, okay. Hey, Karki, how you doing?
What's going on, man? Hey, I was just wanting to tell you one thing. The application you were saying about the nitrous injectors, I think Pat Moosey has a system similar to that one. You might want to just check on it.
Okay. I wouldn't be surprised that he's always working on new technology.
Yeah. I saw that PRI show that Pat Moosey had that system similar to what you were saying. You know, he was banking, but he was using they bank, just like what you were saying, to make the smooth application, but they were actually using injectors to put the fuel in on the banking. He would use all nitrous injectors, then he'd use fuel injectors to bring the fuel in.
Okay, so yeah, no, that's a little different, Karki. What that is he's actually using fuel injection and then straight solenoid with jetted application for the nitrous side.
Yeah.
And that all of Musi's, all of Pat Musi's fuel injection stuff is that way. His Law's fuel injector motors, whether it be John Hall, those guys. And that is actually something that I don't know for a fact if Stevie Jackson has it on his car right now. I know they were testing with it. There's been quite a few Alvin Avi cars testing with it. I noticed Brandon Switzer was testing with it. Chris Patrick's been running it. There's been quite a few guys running that fuel injected deal besides Musi recently. He was the first person to really do it. It's actually something that that I'm doing on my car now, converting to. And that is very different than what I'm talking about. It is
okay.
The fuel
I just noticed it. I saw it, and it was something different a while back, a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just bringing it to the attention of some of the guys to check that Pat Moosey system out, because it seemed to be pretty effective, especially in banking from what I saw. That's just all. That's all I was just saying.
Absolutely. That is a huge thing. And that changes, that fuel injected thing changes the whole way of banking works, in the effect of you can, when you have that system that you just brought up, it's a true fuel injection system. And if you have coil pack ignition, meaning individual coils for each cylinder versus a distributor, you can actually retard the timing only on the cylinders that you're adding the nitrous to versus retarding the timing on all 8 cylinders but only adding nitrous and fuel to 4 of them for a certain period. And you can control your fuel a lot better. So that is definitely a technology step that's come out in the past few years that is huge.
Yeah, I
not quite
to
the
step
of injected nitrous.
Yeah, I sure appreciate it, Mr. Jenner.
Well,
thank
hey,
you for
thank
calling.
You. Yes, thank you. We're going to grab another call here, Jim, and then we're going to get to we're going to get the music started, and we're going to get to, you know, all of the upcoming events and everything like that we have going on, Big Jim. Hopefully all of these, the next 5 minutes we're going to dedicate to TikTok, and then we're going to get to everything else. Next caller, 941-4485. Your mic is live with the Bread Man and Jimmy Marino. Come on.
Mudbone.
Hello, what's going on?
Mudbone, what's going on?
Nothing much. How can I help you? Welcome to the Bread Man One Time Show.
I'm sitting here with Gabe Horns. And we looking to see what's going on. We looking to knock your block off. You got a car yet, sucker duck?
Well, you hold the line. We finna get to all that right there. Calm down. I'm glad y'all calling with these type of calls, because I do have my chassis man listening, and he is not going to take y'all talking to me any kind of way. Hold the line. We finna get started. With that being said, I'm finna bring in my one and only, the real deal. This man here has been known in an S10 truck to be knocking heads loose. And
goddamn real deal.
Oh, Lord. Here we go. My man. The one and only.
Yo, it's Crew Chief on the Bread Man Show. What it do?
Crew Chief, it ain't hard to tell. You excel. Come on with it. What's going on this morning?
Oh, man, I'm just sitting back listening to all these wonderful tech tips that Jimmy got for the listeners, and, you know, he able to answer these questions, and just sitting back listening, man, checking out the show. You know, I always love to support these race shows and, you know, many races as I can, because one thing about it, we got to support one another for this thing to survive. So I'm just giving sitting back support.
Most definitely. Well, I had a couple questions for you. I was told that you're getting ready to get into promotions now, promoting races. Is that true?
To answer that question, honestly, yeah and no. The reason I say yes and no, yeah, I'm getting ready to put on a race, but by far, no, I'm not a promoter, and I'm not trying to become a promoter. You know, I'm just a local fellow racer that loves the race, you know, with my team, and we're just trying to put something on for the racers, you know, for the racers, by the racers. Right now we're working on getting a few sponsors to help us out along the way, so we can make this thing a success. I mean, with the help of Jimmy Marino, T5, Big Low, Speed and Truck World, Chris Nelson. You know, we working together trying to get all the details ironed out about this upcoming race that we're getting ready to put on. And I can't forget my main man Tilio over there at Double A Performance. He got a few good ideas for our sponsorship. So, like I say, it's a race that I'm trying to put on for the racers, by the racers. And, you know, it's going to be around that time. Yeah, November 30th is the big date. And as you know, a lot of northern states around the world on the East Coast are going to be cold around that time. And they still going to have, tons of gas on their chest to get off. And they're going to be looking for somewhere to go to engage. So, like I say, me and my crew, we're trying to get together. And, we got together and trying to give the race is a place to come and race around that time of the year, because I know they still going to have gas on their chest after the race. So shortly thereafter the race, my main man, Baldy, races maybe 2 weeks or so right behind that, 2 or 3 weeks behind that. And Jimmy races another week or so behind that. So, like I say, it's definitely a race that we're putting on for the races, by the races. And like I say, we definitely trying to get some action down here in Florida. It's not that far because everybody here, old crew chief, Big Low, T5, they know we over here in the bottom. You know, we in South Florida, but the race is going to be, I don't know if they consider that Central Florida, but it's north, it's northern part of Florida. Like I say, it's north of Tampa. So it's not that bad of a drive for those who. Yeah, great race. Yep. Great race.
Track. It's a good track. I think it'll be a great facility to host a race. Definitely it would be. With that being said, Crew Chief, I got a fellow on the line that been wanting to holler at you for a minute, man. He's here from Georgia. let me bring him in here. This guy has a Ford Mustang that he runs up here, and he been wanting to holler at you for a minute. I'm glad you on. Let me change the music for him because he's a different individual. So with that being said, let me get my main man in here. A.K.A. Cookie! Cookie! Welcome to the Bread Man One Time Show. How you doing this morning, brother?
Doing all right. Good morning, everybody. How everybody doing?
We doing.
Okay. You still doing a little song with the S10 truck?
Well, if you're talking right, I can be.
Make it light on yourself, buddy.
First off, I don't even know who I'm speaking with, sir. I don't even know what you're bringing to the table. But if you listen to me, as you see, I'm not a hard person to find. And,
Spencer small block Mustang. That's all I can tell you.
You got a what?
Stock suspension, small block Mustang.
Okay. For my that, you know, you to me, you sound like Big Ball Factor. So that ain't telling me nothing, bro.
Come on, man.
Big Ball Factor got a small block stock suspension Mustang. I can't run with that. So what's up, bro? Talk to me.
I don't run like that, but it's close to it.
If it's close to that, me and you ain't got no business indulging in this conversation.
Nah, I'm just talking, man. Nah, I got a 5.9 car, man. But you know, I wouldn't mind blisting your ass one good time. You know, I get sick of Bread Man talking about you. Yeah.
Well, if you got a 5.9 car, you got too much for me, sir. Definitely too much for me. If you come down to the 650 range, that's more like me right there.
Would that work? When you want to do? When your race is anyway?
My race would be November 30th.
Okay. I support you and goose you at the same time. You know what I mean?
Hey, that sounds like a plan. Who am I speaking with, first off?
They call me Coop, man. They call me Coop. And
all you Coop.
Yeah.
Where you from?
I'm out of Georgia. I'm out of Georgia, man.
Coop. Yeah. They call you Coop. You part of Coop Performance or something, bro?
Yeah, but that's not why they call me Coop, you know. But you know, I'm part of that camp. And
okay, so exactly which car is yours, or which car are you referring to?
I got a blue coupe with a small block, and all I can tell you.
Oh my goodness, man, that don't mean nothing. You know, y'all got a lot of motors laying around, and that's a real far date. But
a lot of motors laying around. What you mean by that?
I'm just saying, you part of Coop Performance. Y'all got a lot of cars, a lot of motors laying around. Ain't no telling what y'all slide off in that thing. But I tell you what.
Won't do nothing like that, man. Everybody got their own, though, you know.
Okay, I tell you what. What's the next? What is going to be your next upcoming outing? Where you headed at next?
My next event going to be Mandrea Shut Up and Race. That'll be in Peterson, Georgia, September the... the following weekend. That'd be the next one. That'd be the 14th, right?
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, but that'll be the next one, and then after that, you know, I come find you wherever you want to go. I go.
All right. Well, yeah, I definitely won't be able to make that manager shove and race date due to prior obligations I got on my side of town. But we definitely gonna end up bumping heads because you sound like you got a hard on for me. And the last thing I want you to do is lay down and go to sleep with that hard on.
Yeah, you know that'd be rough like that. Yeah, that'd be real hard laying down like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So I'm gonna go ahead and make a date and put that thing to sleep for you. And we'll make it happen. We definitely gonna make it happen. And you definitely on my radar, Mr. Coop.
Okay. And Big Low too. I've been watching both of y'all.
Yeah, both of us.
Yeah, I'm going to try both of y'all out.
With a small block. Would you say small block car?
Yeah, small block car.
No, I'm saying this. You talking about you want to run me with the same car you want to run Big Low with?
Yeah.
Or you talking about a different car?
The same car.
I ain't got no business messing with you if you trying to run Big Low, but I tell you what, I will entertain you. But you know, when you come talking about my squad, you know, talking about my team, my brothers, you just don't walk up the ladder like that. At first, see how the rule of thumb is, you got to run crew chief first. Then if you happen to get past crew chief, I got a Regal sitting over there, a little bit lighter than Big Low, you know what I mean? A little less weight than Big Low, you know what I'm saying? And you got to try that. And then if you make it to the big league.
What rig that is?
T5. Ain't no secret.
Aw, man.
Don't start. Man, what? What, you crying now? You crying?
No, man, I got a hay haul out of him, man. He showed me that neither. A hay hauler, a truck that I haul hay in.
A what? Stop speaking French and speak English. A hay hauler?
Look, I ran. If that what y'all want, all y'all lined up and go ahead and bend over, man. Well, won't be no damn, you know. Have your box on back with it. That's what it's going to be. All y'all did go ahead and line up a bit old.
Sound good, brother. I mean, if you racing the thing like you talk, you should be a show winner. But,
Bray, I don't want to talk to him more. Get bald on him. I want to try bald it, too. Get bald on him, too. I'm sick of this.
Man, hey, what you been drinking this morning, brother? You know you want to, and it ain't that much cool up, Doug. You on a bull or something?
No, I drank Hurricane. Get bald on him, Brett. The man's scared already.
Hey, I'll tell you what. See what you got going on this weekend?
Carolina this weekend.
That's where you going to be at this weekend?
I probably can make that. I tell you what, I get me and Brett to give you a call Thursday evening and let you know for sure.
All right, you do that.
Yeah.
You do that. Because I'm pretty sure.
And that's gonna be the yellow truck, right? The little yellow truck, right?
Nah, this weekend I can't do nothing. This weekend my girl's birthday, and I don't give a damn about a race this weekend.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
But my man T5 and crew will be in place to accommodate you this weekend.
Okay.
If you just ain't bumping your gums.
Oh no, man! It buffed my gun.
Okay. Well,
they'll come back down there with blisters. If I make it over there, they'll come back down there with blisters on there.
Sound good.
Yeah.
Hey,
do me a favor now. I want you to promise me one thing. When I put them blisters back there, I want you to help bust them. Okay.
No problem, sir. No problem. Hey.
Let me get some other call. No problem. That might want. Crew G, and y'all grab, go to mute, Coop King. 772-1164.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the brand, man. One time.
Right on the show.
What's up?
Hello.
It's a phone show.
Cardelia.
What's up, man?
What's going on, Mr. Jeff?
No much
working today.
I'm glad you see how you're talking to me. You see how you're talking to me.
Yeah,
see how they talking to him. We ought to do something about this here.
I know. I got a test match with somebody. Send me a test match. It's a show today. So I call and I'll be listening for like 30 minutes. So far.
Well, hey, you go ahead and listen. I don't want a whole year. We got Big Jimmy. We got Jimmy on here, too, somewhere.
Cool.
What's up? Yeah, what's up, Double AA?
What's up, man? No problem. Working today. Make your cars faster.
That's it?
You got to work 7. You got to work 7 days a week and work at night. Everybody sleep. We make your cars go fast.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, hey, Artilio, thanks for calling in and supporting the show. This is Mr. Double A Performance himself. We'll let you get back to work, Artilio.
Thank you, sir. No problem.
That's Double A Performance, folks. Double A Performance, if you're looking for any chassis needs, Mustang, GM, anything, he can make it happen for you. He can make it happen. Back to my main man, Crew Chief, though. Crew Chief, I didn't mean to. That man been asking for you since you called in with Swine one day, man. And I'm just glad y'all, you know, had the opportunity to bump guns together and, you know, kind of get situated. But I get with you on all the other stuff that's going on. By the way,
hey,
if y'all have. Yeah, go ahead, Crew. Go ahead.
You got I'll just phone in, like, you know, in a. And try to enlighten the listeners about exactly, you know, what we had going on. I was what we're trying to get going as of yet. I'm doing a 28 tire race, November 30th, free entry fee. $3,000 payout, winner take all. Or if I get there and we have a driver's meeting and the drivers decide they want to pay back a couple spots, then I don't have a problem doing that as well. But it's a 28 thin 5 tire. W is allowed, or 275, whichever one you decide to come run on. Is $3,000. Right now, it's a $3,000 purse. It's up to the drivers because, like I say, it's a race for the drivers by the drivers. For the racers by a racer. So if they want to get together and pay back, I don't have a problem doing that. With the help of Jimmy Marino, my good buddy Jimmy, we're trying to get together this top sportsman's race. So we're going to do a top sportsman. It's going to be a top sportsman deal / fast back half deal. So you'll see the faster the back halves mixed in with the top sportsman guys and definitely going to put them down through there, and that definitely should be a crowd pleaser because everybody, you know, with this top sportsman's deal, that I think Dolomite, he just won the race this past weekend, so he's the current belt holder, and there are people gunning at Dolomite left and right, and then we have the new kid on the block, Mr. Stone Cold, with his Camaro, IROC Camaro, and he's been beating on his chest, barking up a few trees, pissing a couple people off. So, you know, they running behind him like ants on sugar right now. So, like I said, we're trying to get him off in there. I got my buddy, Stravino's Motorsports, over at Speed and Truck World. They're going to be taking on my main man, Mike Hill. They're going to grudge over there. So that's going to be a good one. Mike Hill said he wants some payback. And Stravino said they just want to get some more of his money. So we're going to get that going on. And we're putting together a 29 race for the 29 guys, for the guys from 29. So we, we're getting that together. So like I say, with the help of some other fellow sponsors, we're going to make this thing happen. It's definitely going to be a good one. And then, of course, I can't leave out the bracket, guys. As you know, Florida is a big bracket state, so I want to show some love to the bracket guys. So I'm going to get a couple bracket guys in there to, you know, go down the track and get them something to do because I think their season ends in October, if I'm not mistaken. The bracket guys will pretty much be on chill mode as of October. So, and I know they're still going to have a little gas on their chest, so I'm going to get those guys to come in there and do a little something you know, to get and keep the crowd entertained, keep the crowd hyped. So, like I said, it's definitely going to be a good one. You're definitely not going to want to miss it. And everybody who comes in, this is for the grudge racers. All the grudge racers who come in to the race, come down to the race, and you lock your man in, or if you lock anybody in my team for that matter, win, lose, or draw, we guarantee locking back in for Baldy Race. I mean, that's if you got the kahunas to man up and do that. But my team, that's what we're doing. We locking back in anybody who lock us in, or whoever we grudge with, we locking right back in for the Baldy Race. So y'all beware. If y'all don't really want this trouble, don't lock us in. Because if you want action, we bring it action. So with that being said, I ain't going to hold up your show too much longer. I'm going to be on mute. If you need me, anybody got anything, any questions, I may ask, may need answered. I'm here. I don't know if my man T5 got on yet, or is the mic open, or whatever the case may be. But I know Jimmy should still be there. So like I say, we'll be here on mute if you need us. Just sit back and enjoy the rest of the show, brother.
Thank you for getting on, Kurt G. All
right, appreciate it, Jimmy. And Birdman. Hey, hold on. Hey, before you go, Birdman, before you mute my mic, is my son still on?
Oh, man. I'm trying. Hey, who are you? Who, say that again.
I'm looking for my son. He know who I'm talking to. I want to know if my son's still on. And
if you want me to be, I'm your son.
No. I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about your friend, Carkey.
Okay.
Carkey still on Birdman?
Let me see here. Let me see. I got to scroll up. Carkey, where you at? Hold on. He is right here. Hold on a second. Let me check with him.
Yeah.
Carkey, you still there?
Hello? I'm here. Yeah. Hello, Father.
Hey, son. How you doing?
Man, I've been trying to speak. I didn't know I had got muted, but, man, I want to tell you, it's good to hear from you, and I'm going to try to make your show because I know it's going to be good because y'all boys always bring some good action, man. I know it's going to be a hell of a show, and especially in Florida in November.
Believe that.
You
better know it.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
I got a question for you. I got a question. Did you get the child support payment I sent to you?
I believe no. I ain't got it, man. I've been out of time, dog. I'm gonna check it.
That would be the reason why I hadn't got a phone call from you. I'm like, man, I ain't talked to my son, and man, he must don't love me no more. I know I've been paying my child support.
I'm on Facebook, man. I've had some personal stuff going on, man. My mom been real sick, and I haven't been able to really mess with the racist stuff here in the last month.
Okay, yo, well, I'm sorry to hear that. You gotta call me and fill me in. You know, I'm down here in the Sunshine State, so you know you gotta fill me in on what's going on up that way. So
I sent you something on Facebook the other day, man. You wouldn't even reply to me, but that's all right.
All right,
he gonna be my new daddy.
Hey, Carkey, it ain't nothing personal, Carkey. That's just how, when you got almost 4,000 Facebook friends, it's hard to get back to all of them. What he told me, Carkey.
You're right, Brad. Being, he's got very popular and famous in the last few months, and now he don't have time for his kids, man. Yeah, that's all. But I understand.
No, man, it ain't that, Carkey. I have love for everybody, and I try to do what much as I can and reply back to much stuff as I can. If I didn't reply back to you, I'm sorry for that. Please forgive me, because I try to. Big Low got on me the other day about that. He was, I had some people inboxing me on Facebook about races and what's going on. And he was like, bro, you gonna drive and you gonna inbox people back while you're driving, this, that, and that? Hey, bro, they inbox me. I try to stay in contact with those who stay in contact with me, because I know a lot of people not able to travel to these places, and they have to pick and choose, because the economy being so tight. they have to pick and choose, you know, where they're going to go and where they can see, you know, their fans and, you know, or, you know, just follow the race, the grudge scene as a whole. So, like I say, with the economy being the way it is, I always try to give people the best upfront information that I can pertaining to that part of it, you know. So, like I say, I understand you're going through a little something right now, but when you get a chance, Carkey, hit me up.
I will, but Brad, I really appreciate you letting me get a chance to holler at old Crew Chief, man. Hell of a guy, man. Good sportsman and just all around good guy. Him and his whole crew, him, T5, Low. It's going to be a hell of a thing. And Brad, I want to tell you before I go, too, man, you know, you're doing a great job here today, man. I really been enjoying it. You're trying to get everybody informed on a lot of things, and you're giving everybody a chance to kind of let loose here, man. I appreciate you. You're doing a hell of a job, and man, good luck and all the endeavors. I hope it all worked out for you too, brother.
Hey, Carkey, I thank you for all that you said. I must admit, man, a lot of this I can't do without Mr. Jimmy Marino and Chris. They make a lot of this show. Really, we all make the show, man. We need the ones that ain't scared to press one to ask questions, and we need these ones that really love racing to get on here and share some of their time as well. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, I'm just trying to give back, Carkey. Anytime you want to get on here and have something to say about anything, man, we're here for you. And it ain't got to deal with racing. I'm just throwing that out there for everybody. You know, yeah. I like to talk about all things under the sun. It just makes me a stronger person. But, Carkey,
yeah,
you're welcome anytime, man. Come on.
All right, and all y'all fellas, have a good one now. Y'all have a good time to go ahead and start picking boogers off my little girl nose, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. You have a good one, Carkey.
All right, all y'all fellas do, though. And Jimmy, too. All right.
Bye. Hey, thank you.
Hey, with that being said, I wanted to go into we had a race this weekend and down in Putnam County. We had a couple individuals, one-stop performance, Bacteria, and the one and only Brown Sugar Baby. They were one of the promoters of that particular event. I want to give them a shout-out. If y'all would, press the 1 button right now if you're on the line. We'd like to definitely give you a great applause for the great job that everyone has been saying you did at that particular race. I might have a hand up right here. There you go. Hold on 1 second here. 1750, welcome to the Bread Man One Time.
All right,
welcome
good morning, Bread. What you got? Bread?
Man, for everybody that don't know, this is Bacteria. He owns a Mustang, and he is also part of the Coupe Performance Camp, also a crew chief. They throw the race, him in One Stop Performance, and Brown Sugar. I had Brown Sugar on here somewhere. Let me check this mic again one time, Keith, and see if he's going. 078-8176. Welcome to the Bread Man Show. Your mic is live. You on here?
That joke is problem.
Yeah, but Keith, man, welcome,
yeah.
Welcome. We heard you had a great show, man. You know, a new promoter. Are you looking to continue doing these races in that area? Or what's going on with you? Talk to the Bread Man one time.
Yeah, Brad, we're going to continue to do it. We're probably going to come out with another one next year. But, you know, when we did this race here, we was just trying something different.
Okay.
And got the great race off that a lot
yes,
of people
sir.
Want to see.
Yeah, I don't mean to cut the young fella off, but I was following that race. They was putting a lot of pictures up, the one-stop shop performance.
They was posting
a lot of videos on Facebook and pictures on Facebook, and you know, I liked it. I watched all the videos and you know, liked a lot of their pictures that they was putting up. Looked like they had some SmackDown going down up there now.
Oh yeah, we had a grudge race to pop off in the heat of the day. The track opened, they got the fussing, they went at it right there. Locked the money in and went on out there in the heat of the day. And we had I went in the battle with Lester Neely out of Atlanta. I came up pretty good. Him and the white boys, they ran. Was out the gate before the race was even finished.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you mean to tell me you one of the white boy cars, the Mustang that...
One of the cars that they had tuned on.
Wow.
Two small block cars.
Man.
Good race. Got band was playing. From start to finish.
Wow. Well, we got another caller raising his hand. Bacteria, let me get him in here. This might be who we're looking for. Hold on 1 second. 478-8176. Welcome to the bridge,
what's
man.
Going
one
on?
Time. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. What's going on, Racing World?
Oh, man. We got this is for everybody that don't know. This is Brown Sugar, baby. This is one of the guys that participated. They're all in together. They are race promoters. Where y'all other buddy at? One Stop. Everybody call in but once. The One Stop, if you're listening, hit the one button. We want to congratulate you and Bacteria on a great show y'all throw down there at Putnam County, Eatonton Dragway, Headhunter Dragway, that is, over the weekend. Everybody's, you know, here in Georgia. By the way, for my listeners that are not locally here, that race is in Eatonton, Georgia. It's a small little drag strip. A lot of people showed up at that race, and we just want to say thank you to you guys for putting on a good show, man. Thank y'all for having y'all on the show, and hopefully if y'all in the future look to throw any other races, please be let this be the first place you call in and air it out. We'd love to have you on. Brown Sugar, you got anything you want to add to that?
Oh, yeah, I just want to appreciate everybody coming out who did come out. You know, we had a nice turnout. We had some pretty good races. I think everybody enjoyed themselves. You know, a lot of trash talking. You know, like Bacteria said, he played the gap band on Lester.
Yes, he did.
But glad everybody have a good time who came out. Hopefully, in the near future, we'll throw another one. We'll come on here. We'll let it be known here first.
I appreciate that. Well, thank y'all for coming on and voicing all of your thoughts and opinions. And if y'all will just hold here, we're going to move along with the show. If y'all have any other concerns or any questions, please feel free to hit the one button again, and I'll get you back in here. Thanks for having you on.
Okay, bro.
Well, with that being said, Jim, you got anything else you want to throw in here, Big Jim?
Well, you know, I know my man, and we didn't get Dolomite on here, but I know my man Dolomite beat Walter Mann. I did see a video of that at Union. I don't believe Stone Cold and Dolomite got their race off. I'm kind of wondering when they're going to do that, when and where the plan is to get that race off. And any other action that happened at Union, I'd be interested in hearing about. Wasn't able to make it up there, but definitely interested in hearing about it.
Right.
Hey, Joe Birdman, homie, to cut in.
Yeah.
How hard is it to get a Stone Cold on the phone? Or a representative of the camp?
I don't think that'll be hard. I'm going to try this right here. I'm laughing because
it's now time to try this little feature they have here for me. If y'all would hold the line, I'm gonna try to get them in here. Stone Cold, let me try to get them on here. 1 second here, Jim. Go ahead with the show, Jim. Let me get them in here.
Okay. All right. Good deal. All right. Coochie, if you hear anything else going on up there this weekend, I know the Walterman and Dolomite race. I didn't hear of anything else getting off. Did you?
I heard about, well, it wasn't at Union. I heard the Cole Killer and Donye race took place Saturday night about like 12:30 in the morning or something like that. They end up getting that race off. Donye said he made a few he had to go tighten every bolt up on his car because when he shook it down, it really took down. So he had to go over his whole car, and it took him a while to get it together. But they finally got it together and got the race off. And he said it was a good race, and he just felt that if the way these G-bodies are coming along right now, anybody could win. It's just a matter of who makes the least amount of mistakes, you know. So
I agree. Who ended up winning that?
Cole Killer ended up turning the victory light on. He said Cole Killam had him maybe a quarter of a car to a whole car, but he said he just feel like it's any of the G bodies right now could win on any given day. That's what he said. At any given day, it's just who make the least amount of mistakes. So he's very interested in hunting Cole Killer back down. From what I hear, he said he can't take it like that. Cole Killer just got a straight out run away from him before he give up. So, and on top of that,
I can respect that. I can respect that for sure. And I agree with them 100% that these G bodies are so close nowadays, and there's so many good ones out there that anyone can win on any given day. You got to make the first thing you got to do to win is make the trip.
Right about that. Go from A to B. Go from A to B. And but hey, it was a good one. I mean, he said, you know, I asked him, you know, how did the fan crowd play out? You know, did Cole Killer have a lot of fans, or he had a lot of fans? So he said it was like split crowd. You know, he had the ones that loved him and the ones that hated him, and vice versa with Cole Killer, you know. So it is what it is. But outside of that, I don't know. I was trying to keep up with the Union race. I was trying to keep up with the Michigan race. And at the same time, I was trying to keep up with the Yellow Bullet National. So,
yep.
I was, you know.
Yep. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah. I'm still trying to get updates about that. Did you hear anything good from up there?
Yeah, I watched a lot of the live feed last night. So, we'll get into that one. I also heard the Hot Boys ran somebody at Union. Do you know who they ran?
No,
I read something where Mike Hill posted that they looked real good, real impressive.
Well, if they look that good, then we really need to get the Hot Boys on here then, because I got a Regal that got a hard on for him, and I hate for him to roll over or wake up in the morning with the blue balls or something if we can't get that off.
I did hear that. And
you said Birdman came back. Birdman, are you back? No, Birdman still.
I'm back in here. I just got off with Stone Cold. He's getting ready to roll over and get in here. He said he had to wash his face. He had some Remy Martin spill on his shirt.
okay, that's what's up. He got the good stuff. He definitely got the good stuff.
So, I had Donye on here earlier, he clicked off. I guess he was handling some business. He did get beat. He said that it wasn't nothing wrong with his car. He got beat. I have to commend him for getting in the ring with Cold Killer, and I do want to throw that out to Cold Killer too. Congratulations on your win, Cold Killer. Them boys, them guys got out there and they did what they had to do. Cold Killer, if you're listening, by the way, get a bread man a call.
We'd like to interview you on the show, here, Cold Killer, if you're listening. Give us a call. Hold on 1 minute, y'all. Let me step off of here and go in the private room with this other caller here.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. As far as, and I also got some information that William Brown maybe scored a win over Blue Magic. So, you know, I don't know the Blue Magic car personally. I'm not sure what car that is, but that was reported as well.
Okay.
As far as Yellow Bullet Nationals, Doug Sikora out of California won the Outlaw 10-5 deal with his Pro Charge Mustang. And that was a well-deserved victory, and that was that was a pretty neat deal that he drove all the way from California to Maryland, scored himself a $10,000 victory, and he's heading up to. Last I heard, I think that team's headed to the Shakedown race at Norwalk, the former Dave Hance race, and I forgot who took that race over, but it's going to be at Norwalk this year, from what I understand.
Oh, they don't have Shakedown at E-Town anymore?
No. Dave gave up on it. Some stuff went down. He decided that he was done with the whole Shakedown thing and ended it as the last one last year.
Yeah. Wow.
Someone talked him into giving the race up, and he let someone else take over the name, and they're going to hold it at Norwalk, I believe.
Don't go. You in here?
Yeah, man. What's up?
What's going on, fellas? We got Stone Cold finally on the show. Welcome to the Bread Man 1-5 show, Stone Cold. We got Jimmy Crew Chief in here.
Okay.
What's up there, Stone Cold?
What's up, Jim?
Not much. You guys get anything off this weekend? I understand. I saw, I was looking through some pictures. I saw you at least made a shakedown. I heard something about a wheelie bar problem.
Yeah, I jumped booking the wheelie bar. We caught it. The car just kept going to the left, and then I guess Mike looked up under that and realized that the high jump was broke on the damn thing. So, but this, it was one of them days, huh? One of them days.
Yeah. Oh, I know how that goes. I end up raining you guys out. Is that what
enough.
I hear?
It's the only thing that did happen. You know, paid $300 punk out and you know, load it up.
Okay. What
I mean, a lot of people don't be on the outside looking in, but they don't realize that what it takes to get a car to the track, then when a car is normally performed and then it's not performing, you know, shit, what you going to do? You know what I'm saying? So.
Oh, I agree.
You know, everybody be on the outside looking in like it's an issue with somebody. It's just like it's just one of them days and that car just when doing what it normally do. So. And then
I can understand that. I've been there, done that numerous times. You know, you win your races at the shop. You lose your races at the racetrack. That's how I see it. If you're prepared, and sometimes you don't catch the things at the shop, such as that. You know, or things break once you get there. And but the preparation's everything.
Right. See, what people don't realize, that hind joint is right there inside their pulling bar. So if you're really not, you know, paying a real, like you say, taking your wheel bars on and off, some people do that, you'll catch it. But if you're not doing that, and then that shit broken under that, so it's flexing. So that's probably was, you know, I was issue. But, you know, we didn't catch it till the last minute. You know, then Mother Nature played a big part of it too. So, you know, Mother Nature came in and it rained for about 1 hour and 45 minutes. And then by the time they got the track dried off and shit, you know, we made another shakedown and the car did the same thing. Then, you know, and then after Mike, you know, he's about to go up and do a run big section. And then after Mike had to, you know, grab the wheel bar, and like, damn, he said, this ain't right. So that problem's our problem all the time, you know.
Yep. We found a problem with the Camaro this weekend. Not the same, but. In the same back half of the car, we found a problem that we don't know how long he's been there, and it's something we've been struggling. It's been hindering the 60 foots on the car a little bit and in the shock section, and just couldn't figure, you know, just didn't have it quite figured out. And come to find out, we actually was under there messing with one thing and ran across what the problem we've been looking at for a while has been. So kind of found it accidentally. It wasn't keeping, the car was still going straight, and it's actually, I don't know how long it's been a problem. The car still goes straight. It's still running like it has, but it's never run like I thought it should. And we're, you know, after finding that, we just found a problem that's hindering the car in the first part of the racetrack. So hopefully we can get that fixed and see, you know, same type of thing. You know, so you got to be under these things all the time. You never know when stuff's going to go bad and wear out or someone
Hello?
Put something in wrong to begin with.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Can I intervene for a second?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, this is crew chief for those who don't know. Enough of the kumbaya. We kumbaya, kudos, our coffee, milk, cereal, and everything in between. Where you going to be at? What's the next race you going to, Stone Cold? Or you planning on attending? What's next up for Team Stone Cold?
Yeah, I think we're going to be at Big Drag Benefit Race.
Okay, Big Drag Benefit Race. Okay, Jimmy, what's the next race you're going to be at, Jimmy?
Big Drag Benefit Race.
Oh, two cars at the same race. Who would have thought of that? You got anything locked in for the benefit race, Stone Cold?
What's that now?
Do you have anything locked in for the benefit race?
Yeah, Dolomite. I think we got Dolomite. Me and Dolomite go wrong.
Okay. So could we take the winner after Dolomite?
What car?
With Jimmy car. With the Camaro.
Man, we can't run with that car, man. We can't run with that car.
Oh, here we go with the politics again.
Man, I'm just saying, do you have a car? Do you have a car?
Not of that caliber, no.
Okay, then. So you can squash that, bro. You can squash that. Jimmy, no, I can't run with Jimmy. Jimmy, no, I can't run with him. So what are you trying to dig up, bro?
I was just asking a question. I wasn't trying to dig up nothing.
What kind of car you got?
I got a small tire car with some 28s on it and a small block in it.
And can I accommodate you? What kind of car you got?
I got an S10 right now.
Okay, then what you want to do with that?
You got another S10 for me to race?
S10 truck?
Yes.
No, I don't have an S10 truck. I got a Vega I run you with.
A Vega? What you got in your Vega?
I got a bit block in it.
All right, then, I got T5? What's happening?
Nah, we can't run with T5 either.
Oh, okay. Well, what you gonna give me? What you gonna give me with the Vega then?
I ain't giving you nothing. I can't give you
nothing. Hey, let me throw one out there. I don't know about this Vega or nothing, but I mean, I'm all into just getting a race off. what if we had that big Mo Mustang? You want to do something with that, Trev?
Say what now?
You could do something with Big Mo's Mustang. We could get that together. And with that Vega, I don't know what that Vega is, but you tell me. That car's sitting there. And you know that seat fits you.
Say what? What'd you say, Jimmy?
That seat fits you anytime you want to sit in it.
Until
it sells, at least. That's right up until it sells. But right now, it ain't sold yet.
Yeah, you're right. I don't like running big blocks or small blocks. You know, I feel like,
understood.
You know, if he make the race right, then I'm willing to try it. But running a big block head up with a peewee, nah, that's especially a small peewee at that. If we had a big peewee, then I'd tell him, come on. But nah, not for that shit. That, I'd just rather run it with T5 and let it do what it do. You know, head up, it is what it is. He get his lane, and we ain't got nothing to cry about.
Man, we can't run with T5, not with the Vega, bro. I already know that. We cannot run with T5. We stay in our lane with that, man. I'm not, you know, just like the same way with Stone Cold Camaro, we stay in our lane with that. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. Until we upgrade, then, you know, I'm not the kind of guy that, you know, going to step out of my boundary when I know that, you know, I ain't got a good chance of hell of winning. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. But something that's compatible to me, that sits like I sit, then I'm all in. But I'm not finna step out there like that.
No, I feel you, bro. I don't know what your car is.
but I do know it was considered a top sportsman car. So that's why
Okay, what is a top sportsman car?
What is a top sportsman car?
To me, I'll elaborate on what I think. You know, I'll elaborate what I think a top sportsman car is in my world. It's I think you got to look at wheelbase. You got to look at motor position. I don't think anything with a 5.2 or 5.3 is a top sportsman car. I think you step up into that deal. You're in a pro mod car. But with how many 5-inch motors, we got G bodies of 5-inch motors. You know, they're physically the same size as a 484. I would consider anything with a 5-inch still a top sportsman car. I don't think there's in the top sportsman NHRA top sportsman game. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't run a 5-inch anymore. I think the biggest problem with what in our world, in this grudge race world, is this top sportsman title is the wrong thing to be using because it just confuses things. But I don't think, I think you got to look at wheelbase, motor position, and what a car can weigh, not meaning weight on a scale, not meaning weigh the cars, but, you know, full carbon fiber body car, stuff like that. Probably not a top sportsman. Anything that's an older car, an older pro stock style car, or a fiberglass car, not carbon fiber, something without too much of a spread wheelbase, up to a certain wheelbase. And I think that's how you got to consider it. I think there's, you know, a lot to be considered into it. But you know, I definitely consider the Stone Cold car in that realm, the Dolomite car, the Bobby Wildchild, and I do consider us that Camaro falls right in line with that. Other than that Camaro happens to have a really pretty paint job on it, or I don't know if it's pretty, it's high dollar paint job on it. It's got a paint job on it. That, to me, is the biggest difference between us and all the other cars. But, you know, you got to make that determination for yourself.
Well, you know that high dollar paint job scare a lot of people because they look at the car and they get let the looks fool them. You know, they look at it and feel like it's, like you say, a pro mod. Oh, that's a pro mod, but. Hey, I don't own neither one. I don't own a Pro Mod nor a Top Sportsman. But
anybody. So, with Emma Hall, you consider Emma Hall, that's an older style car. Would you consider that car being a Top Sportsman car?
Not with that big ass nose.
Okay, what's the same thing about
with
Jimmy?
With an 864 and a clutch, there ain't a top sportsman car in the world.
Listen, Jimmy, did you hear the same thing you just said? Not with that big ass motor. Jimmy, you got a 5-inch nose, right, Jimmy? Right?
Yeah, I got a 5-inch. Yeah, I got a 5-inch.
Yeah, but you ain't got no clutch, though, Jimmy.
And I don't have a 5.3. I have a 5-inch, not a 5.3.
I mean, I got a 5.3 with a clutch. Of course, that's a Pro Mod.
So you put a 5.3 in Jimmy car, of course, Jimmy car be a Pro Mod, too, right?
Right. Damn right.
I would say I got no business messing with any of you guys at that point, But here's the thing. I got the same problem you guys would have if you put a 5.3 in a clutch in your car. The car wouldn't work because it's not built for that kind of power.
Yeah.
Our biggest problem with this car is motor position. It's built as a top sportsman car, and that's why I offered it to Mike Hill to look at it and contend it any way he wants. But you know, when the motor position is set so far back in the car, it'll never work with a big motor like that. And that's our problem with the car now, and that's our problem with if we put a 5.2 or 5.3 motor in it. The motor's set back way too far in the car to do anything like that. Just like I don't know how your car's built. I don't know the motor position in your car, but any car, and Stone Cold, you know this, you just elaborate on a little bit is, you know, it's combination. Any car, any car that everything works together is going to go fast. Any car could have the best parts in the world and spend all the money in the world, put a 5.3 in, and it could go nowhere because everything doesn't work together. And a huge part of that, you know, motor position, crankshaft height, a lot of things that people don't look at that make a car work or not work. And when you want to consider what's a top sportsman, I know it gets too technical. You want to consider what's a top sportsman, what's a pro mod car. You know, it's a lot. It's not the things that we normally talk about make the difference.
Right.
It's not the motor. It's not those simple things. You get a guy like Doug Klein in there, and you know, I know
watch
Mike Spud with
there. I watch top sportsman car go at 414. You feel me? Before what's the guy name? William Brown in finals.
Ronnie Davis. He's
big time.
But listen, fellas, I would love to continue. We got 3 minutes left on the show for the air before it goes out. And I just want to say we will conclude this at a later time. Stone Cold, we did bring you in here. We thank you for stepping up to the plate. I did not mean to bring you into any heat or anything.
Oh, no. I'm good.
Okay.
With me, man, see, I'm going to tell you something about me, man, what you got to realize. And, Jimmy, you've been racing longer than I have. When you spend money and go somewhere, you spend over $1,000 or whatever what you spend. And then you're disappointed when your car don't perform. See, a lot of people think you'd be mad at other issues, but you're more disappointed in you know, what you put your money into. Right or wrong?
No, absolutely.
So what you do? You don't stop right there. You just, you know, you keep going, you know, and just take it to a different level. But this weekend was a fucking one of the, you know, I don't have a lot of disappointing weekends, but this weekend was it was real disappointing to me. And I had this expression written all over my face, my body dressing and everything, because I wanted to run Big Sexy and I wanted to run Big Sexy. With Dolomite and Walter, man, I really wanted to run Big Sexy. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I feel like we were on the same level, you know. But, you know, it didn't happen that way. So it is what it is. You just got to keep going, man. That's the only way I look at it.
Well, we want
to hey, let me throw one thing at you, Stone Cold. We're working on a car that sits on the other extent where you're saying – you know, I may be a step up from you in your opinion, you know, and it's something that you can't run. Well, we're working on a car, and I ain't making no commitments because we don't know where we're going to be with this car by that time. But we got a car that we're working on that is a step down from you. It has less than what you got, and I guarantee that. You're going to look at the car, and you're going to – it's definitely a step down from you. If we can get that car ready and we feel we're right – you know, I'm not asking for a commitment because you ain't seen the car. I'm not trying to step up to you with a car you never seen before. But if we can get that car ready, you'd be entertained bringing that to Crew Chief Show and running that car.
When is Crew Chief? When is the show?
November
3rd. I think Mike and Mike having his race, a big dog race, November the 3rd.
No, 30th.
No, 3rd. We're 30th. We're the end of the month.
Oh, 30th. Well, you know. I kind of set my club on Mike's schedule. You know, I don't know how Mike's schedule is.
I think Mike's
going to
be there. Mike's already going to be there with his car.
Right. Mike will be there?
Yes, we think.
Well, if Mike going to be there, then, you know, if Mike going to be there, then I'm Stone Cold going to be there.
Okay.
You know, but I just can't say I'm going to be there and Mike don't be there, but I know if Mike going to be there, Stone Cold could be there.
Okay. Hey, listen, I am trying to get you to step up and commit to a ghost car, but if we can get this car ready, I don't even know if it's going to be ready, but if we can get it ready and we feel like we're up to the task, you know, there's definitely nothing we're bringing to the table that's, like I said, it's a car that I think is a step down from everything you got. It's probably heavier. It isn't going to be as fast, but I want to show you that I ain't trying to pick on you with a faster car. I'm going to run you with anything we can get together. But I can only race the cars I got.
Hey, Cole.
Yo.
Yeah, car look
call it just like your car, bro.
Right. Okay. It might, you know, like I said, we'll see the car, man. We'll see the car, and, you know, if we feel like, you know, it seems like the same way we sit, we'll try. But we're not trying to call with no five inches in it. We just can't take that chance, and we just ain't, I ain't into giving away no money. I'm willing to fight for mine, but I just ain't finna give away no money. But if he seemed like we send, and I feel like it'd be a good challenge. You know, we'll challenge. You know, Mike lock it in, we'll lock it in. But if Mike gonna be at the show, I'll be at the show. Regardless, you know, I'm not gonna lock in a ghost car. I have to see what I'm locking in. Well, definitely. I have seen it before. You know, so, you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm definitely, you know, I told you I'll run you, Jimmy, but I just can't run you. I can't afford to run you with that car, the car you got now, you know.
Understood. I got you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I told you I'd lay off you.
But if Mike going to be at that show, I'll be at that show. So you ain't got to worry about that.
All right, 10-4, 10-4. I think Brig gonna finish up the show before I hang up on
him. Go ahead, Brig, man. Close the show up.
Hey, I wanna thank you for coming on, Stone. And I'm gonna go down to Mike. We're gonna close this thing down. I gotta get my drill out, y'all. So y'all understand, we're gonna go to the first caller. Mustang Walker, you still hot? Walker. On to the next one. Crew G, you next. Go ahead with closing thoughts.
My final comment, man, good show. If anybody traveling this weekend, y'all be safe on the road. November 30th, Crew Chief, Big Low, T5, Mr. Marino, we doing it big down here in Florida. So y'all check us out. I have the flyers out up on Facebook, Instagram, and every other place I can get it real soon. We're going to do this thing for sure. Good show, Brad, man.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. You welcome anytime, Crew G. Anytime, man. You know the deal.
Okay, for sure.
All right, Big Jim, you left.
We got Crew Chief's race, we got Baldy's race, and we got my race coming up December 21st, the week of Christmas. I know it's hard for a lot of people to travel then, but y'all are welcome down here when it's cold up there. We're going to be in the 70s, so look forward to seeing you some down here. A lot going on between November 30th and Christmas down here in the grudge race scene in Florida, so plan your trips. Come on.
That sound good. And thank you, Jim, for participating. You're a great co-host. And we missed out on Chris at Nelson Performance Engines. And want to thank Artilio for listening in, as always, all of our sponsors that are out there. I want to say thank you for having you guys on as well. With that being said, let me shut this music down. We're going to closing. The power of God's love. People will oppress each other. Man against man, neighbor against neighbor. The young will rise up against the old. The base against the honorable. With that being said, folks, I would just like to add that the power of God's love is something serious. And we need to look at each other and see how we can help each other in our trying times that we may have right now that's going on in society. And I want to say that, you know, we as a whole, as God's people, we need to look at each other and motivate each other throughout the day. And if y'all can just say one good thing this week to somebody that you have not said something to, it will be greatly appreciated. With that being said, folks, y'all be good and stay strong and always keep God first. And thank y'all for being on the Bread Man and Jimmy Marino one-time show. Chris is also included. Hey, thank all my callers and listeners. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to get out of here. God is good. Y'all know what to say all the time. With that being said, we out of here, folks. Thank you. We'll see you next Monday at 11 a.m.